as well. Yeah,
which some people might be surprised
that's
to.
That's a good observation.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good observation.
We are the most liberal country in the we want to maintain the Sykes-Picot borders.
If it's successful, it would be fine.
Exactly.
So, yes. Well, because it teaches the previous government, but also the present government trying to.
Of course, no. We talk to everyone. We're open to talk to anyone except for Israel. And
if it is successful, yes.
Yes.
But coming back to this global level as well, because I didn't finish, because we have this alliance building.
Mm-hmm.
Russia is not very good in alliance. It has allies in the Middle East, in Latin America, but except the CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty, so not very strong. China is interesting because they have this partnership program and the Belt and Road.
Yeah.
So the Chinese government would call it its multilateral.
Of course.
But of course, there is a network of bilateral agreements and treaties, economically, but also politically.
But it seems to be more focused on this idea of economic growth and less of this idea of having Chinese bases. We don't really see Chinese bases.
No, there's one or two.
In Djibouti, we have one. I don't know. I don't know if there's another one.
That's true. But you have the Shanghai Cooperation, where Iran now is member, but it's not really a security alliance.
It has a security element.
It has an element, a security dimension. But also China doesn't really have security alliances like NATO. And the second thing would be ideology, and that's interesting. That's why the U.S. is, President Biden is trying to create this alliance of democracies. It's an ideology, like we had during the Cold War. We had the market economy.
It's almost the same language. The free world.
We have the market economy on the one hand, the democracies, the state economy, and communism. So it's very similar. You're correct. And ideologies are always hypercritical. Always. If you have an ideology, it was somehow hypercritical during the Cold War, and it is now.
Exactly.
Because the U.S. has very good relations with autocracies as well when it comes to geopolitical considerations.
Saudi Arabia comes to mind.
And also the Europeans. They say, well, we are part of this alliance of democracies. But just Chancellor Scholz was now in Saudi Arabia and then the Emirates, and because of energy, which is more important.
Democracy, except for XYZ, whoever.
Geopolitics.
Exactly.
Dominates values.
Exactly.
You can have values, but also if you look at Europe, President Biden comes to the NATO summit in Brussels.
Yeah.
He would say, we are an alliance, NATO is an alliance of democracy. The next day, the European Union comes, no, Turkey, Hungary, Poland, no, you don't share our values. No?
Exactly.
So you see, okay, it's an attempt, we know it's an attempt.
So that's very interesting, Professor, because to go back to what we were talking about initially, which is Europe. So we see this during this unipolar moment, we see this massive expansion of NATO towards the east. Some would argue, because you said geopolitics trumps values, and there are certain things that are real national interests. So we have this massive expansion. We have also in the background here the timeline of NATO expansion for our viewers. We have this, in this unipolar moment, this massive expansion to Eastern Europe, all the way to the borders of Russia with the Baltic states. And it seems to me that maybe there was the only geopolitical interest that was served here during this expansion was the American geopolitical interest, going back to the old idea of the British Empire that Europe, that Germany and Europe should never be united with Russia in any way, shape, or form, because this would create a global rival. The idea of heartland, the idea of Eurasia being strong and being a rival to the Atlantic civilization. Again, starting with the British, with Alfred Mackinder, and then later on, when the Americans become the inheritors of the British Empire after World War II, continuing this policy where you have Germany, Russia, and in the middle you have this band of buffer states who, whenever necessary for British and American interests, one day go against the Germans, the other day go against the Russians, whenever it's necessary. And of course, we see this issue for those who are interested in history, when you had the Hitler-Stalin Pact, where this idea of these Germany and Russia, and we're not talking about the Soviet Union as a communist state or Hitler as a fascist Nazi state, but the idea that Germany and and Russia would somehow come to an agreement about geopolitically. Of course, immediately we see what happened then later with the Soviets and the entering the Allies against Germany. My point is simply this. We have this expansion, but it seems to me that it doesn't really serve the geopolitical interests of many of the European countries that are now part of the NATO. We have these newly liberated states from after communism with elites who maybe don't have this deeper understanding of what their long-term interest might be, being told by the West that this is so just to put away your history, to get rid of that Soviet legacy, that communist legacy, come join us. But we see now that if there's going to be a war between NATO and Russia, it is these countries that are going to suffer from it, which, of course, Ukraine being the main example. Because you talked about neutrality, and you've talked a lot about neutrality being a good option for many countries, Austria being an excellent example throughout history or modern history. If you could talk about, is it really in Europe's geopolitical interest that everybody is a NATO member all the way up to the border of Russia, or is there thinking among some people in Europe that would look at their real interests, Germany, other countries, that it might be in their interest to have peaceful, good relations with Russia?
Mm. Many good points. I don't know whether we have the time to touch.
No, we have the time. Sure, go ahead. We have the time.
Let's say for a little NATO expansion.
Right.
Of course, I would say it was not a good idea, and many pundits warned. So it was also George Kennan who warned that at some point it will have consequences, and Russia will react. That was in the 90s when he already. Others would say, and also we heard voices from the Soviet Union. It was not just Putin, but others, and Gorbachev and Yeltsin, and they all. They would not agree to NATO expansion, but it happened because, of course, after the end of the Cold War, Russia was pretty weak economically and had nothing really to do against it. And, of course, NATO expansion happened because it was possible.
There was no barrier.
And, of course, the argument is, and that's only part of the argument, that all states, it's their own decision whether they want to join an alliance, we talked about alliances, whether they join an alliance or not. So nobody should object. Also, you can find it in the OSCE documents, the Organization on Security and Cooperation in Europe, you can find it. That's the one part. But the second part is it should not negatively affect the security of other states.
Exactly.
So if you remain in the language of realism, and so we talk about the security dilemma. Security dilemma.
Yeah, exactly.
If you make a decision in your own country, it might affect the security of other states as well.
Exactly.
So that's.
Exactly.
And just think about the Cuban Missile Crisis. So it was a sovereign decision by Fidel Castro to deploy Soviet missiles here, but. Of course, the Americans are nervous. It's an understandable that Americans.
So now the Russians. And of course, the Americans had deployed missiles in Turkey, which was right on the Soviet border.
We can have another lecture about missile crisis. But that happened with Russia as well. But it was not only that one. I have to say, because Russia did not really have a good ideology anymore, because communism was somehow attractive to intellectuals.
Yeah, of course.
Now you have Russification, denazification, Peter the Great. They are not attractive very much.
Right.
But you have also coming from, so you have coming NATO, you're talking about the heartland. We're talking about this heartland.
Exactly.
We have coming NATO expansion from the West. But you also, which is not mentioned that much of Russia for standing reasons, we have China coming from the east.
Yes.
We have the Belt and Road Initiative,
exactly,
which has a soft power. It has some ideology. It's attractive to states. It's voluntary, so that's not states are not forced.
Exactly.
Of course, it creates economic dependencies later on and might be in difficulties for some. You have to be careful if you
One might argue that this is a natural state of countries who are not viable, who need somebody to support them.
Economically.
If they have to choose between China, who doesn't say you have to accept a base from us, and you have to, they say, okay, we'll give you, we'll build your roads, we'll build whatever infrastructure.
It's
there is attraction to
and
it.
And also it's coming to support your point. Eastern Europe, the Balkans, exactly. The former East exactly. European states, yeah. Bulgaria, Romania.
Exactly.
So Russia is squeezed. And
yes.
We were talking about the great power competition before.
Very good, yes.
And now Russia, so the only reason I can stay in this great power competition, economically weak anyway, with nuclear weapons, is I intervene in Ukraine to prevent further NATO expansion.
Correct.
I think it was the wrong decision, and because now NATO is coming closer to Russia with
right.
the expansion by Finland
correct.
And Sweden as well. So
right.
it is more danger for Russia than it was before.
Well, maybe they figured this is the last line that they can accept even Russia, Finland, but they can't accept.
And then you mentioned that already in your first statement. What is happening now, we have this new Cold War in Europe. The
right.
new, we have two new bipolarities, the global bipolarity between China and US.
Right.
And US would say, oh, we concentrate now on China.
Right.
So you Europeans work hard that with Russia, and we have this bipolarity in Europe
correct.
Between Russia and Western Europe. So what is happening now with the former non-aligned states, Finland and Sweden, becoming NATO members. We have the war in Ukraine. We will have a new cordon sanitaire, not only Iron
right.
Curtain, from the Arctic to the Black Sea. And as I predicted, if you look at the war situation in Ukraine, as I predict, it will go straight through Ukraine as well. Well, it's
mm-hmm.
a deeper river, or it's at the Donbass somewhere, there will be an Iron Curtain.
Right.
And it will last very long, much longer than President Putin will be in power.
Right.
We know this. The old Cold War lasted decades.
Right.
So the Europeans will have to do something about this. And if they don't want to lift this new cordon sanitaire, which was created by this great power competition, of course, it was played out in Ukraine. One solution would have been neutrality. So that I have to say this well before Henry Kissinger, because
right.
I wrote a piece in order to avoid in Ukraine, the best option for Ukraine would become neutral according to the Austrian model.
So yes. that's active neutrality.
That means neutrality. I think that would have been a good idea.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, thumma salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأوحينا إلى موسى أن اضرب بعصاك البحر فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالطود العظيم.
Then we revealed to Moses, saying, strike the sea with your stick. And it parted, and each separate part became like the huge, firm mass of a mountain.
Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, we have reached the 63rd verse of chapter Shu'ara. فَأُحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ يَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Then we revealed to Moses, strike the sea with your staff. Then it clove asunder, and each part became like a huge mountain. What we first understand in this verse is that Allah does some jobs through His friends in order to make people pay attention to them and obey them. The nature and its manifestations are fully by Allah's will at the mercy of His special servants and are overpowered by them. And Allah wants to do some jobs by the prophets. It is always, and it has been always, Allah's will in divine revelations that all prophets do their jobs completely. That is why that the Holy Quran says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ. The people of Moses were trapped in that moment. They saw a wavy sea in front of them, a very powerful and well-equipped troop, an army behind them. So they asked Moses, what are we about to do? Inna lamudrakun, surely we are overtaken. But Moses said, Inna ma'ya Rabbi. At the time of relying on the Almighty Allah, Moses was revealed to by the Almighty Allah and said, strike the sea with your staff. That same staff that is the means of miracles and warning, and one day, now it has turned into the sign of mercy and deliverance at this day. Moses alayhi salam did this. He hit his staff against the sea and a very strange scene happened. This scene was so strange that the children of Israel got very happy and astonished. Suddenly the sea divided. Its water was separated into two pieces, and each piece was standing like a huge mountain. And between these two mountains, a road appeared for the children of Israel.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
وإلى السماء
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, the verse continues saying, فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. Then it clove asunder, and each part became like a huge mountain. The Arabic word infalaqa is derived from the word falq, which means to get broken up. And the word infilaq means to be separated, to be split, and to be cut into two pieces. The word firq is derived from the word farq, which means to separate. And as Raghib says in his Mufradat, the difference between falq and firq is that falq is referring to breaking and firq is referring to separating two things. So the Arabic word firq is applied to a piece or group that is separated from the rest. Now the Arabic word tawd, كالطود العظيم, as the verse says, tawd means a huge mountain. And using an adjective in this verse, which means huge, عظيم, is for the sake of emphasis. كالطود العظيم means a very, very huge mountain. These two waters, as you may imagine, the two parts of the sea stood against each other, facing each other. Between them a road appeared, and there were two huge mountains of waters between the two sides. Now, the point is that even at this point, Moses did not do anything out of his own. The verse says, فَأُوحَيْنَا, we revealed unto Moses. It is by Almighty Allah's will that the prophets do their jobs, and by nothing else. Brothers and sisters, we will continue the rest of the verses and their explanations in the next episodes. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
How do we bring, this is just going to be very brief, how do we bring the akhirah from being just a belief, mental acrobatics, to being something that now it changes the way I believe, my determinations, my calculations, when I'm patient, how I'm strong, how I resist, how do I get this belief to translate into action? Even the, again, let's think about these things. I want to give two examples, two case studies. They took place in the Islamic Republic of Iran, just to give us a little closer to the concept. Even if we thought there was a possibility of an akhirah, it changes you in a revolutionary way. The possibility of an akhirah. We'll see later how this affects our patience. There was a university student. This is in the Islamic Republic. A girl, a young lady, was going to the university. And this young lady, when you looked at her apparently, with hijab, salah, fasting, these kind of things, even her questions, her attitude when it came to the religion, you would say that this young lady, she doesn't believe in any deen. Living in the Islamic Republic. What's so interesting, though, was that her university professor, he met her later on. So he knew her, he met her, he had talked to her. Every time, defiant. And then later he saw her, and now she's wearing the hijab. She's practicing, she's praying. Everything's different now. So then the university teacher, he said, "You don't mind, what happened? I mean, you're very different now." And the young lady told him a story. He said that what happened was, up until now, whenever I would think about the akhirah, I would say that it's something made up. Who knows if there's an akhirah? People make these things up. It's all a lie, all a game. And that's when you saw me, and I was my regular self. He said, one day, I thought to myself, he said, I can't say for sure that there is an akhirah. There is an akhirah. But can I say for sure that there isn't? I say 100%. She's by herself thinking about it. She was like, if there isn't an akhirah, then if I turn into dust, it doesn't matter what I did here in the dunya. I enjoyed myself. I didn't enjoy myself. Whatever, in the end, I die. We're all going to die. But if there is an akhirah, for everything I'm going to have to give the account and pay it back forever. She said, just that question, it robbed me of all joy. Until I came to a conclusion. He said, no, there's an akhirah now. So just the possibility of there being an akhirah, let alone what we have as mu'mineen, faith, belief. But the idea is, now let's talk about patience. How does this help me to develop revolutionary patience in a situation which is unfair, which is difficult, which is long, which is hard, where I'm not at fault? How does belief in the akhirah help me to develop revolutionary patience? What they tell us is this. Let me give you the case study. They tell us is this. Whatever difficulty you and I are facing, think of that in terms of eternity and the akhirah, where we're really going. I'm going through difficulty right now. Life isn't fair right now. You're telling me, Islam says, be patient, resist, do my responsibility. How long will I have to resist here compared to the hereafter, the akhirah? I'm going to mention that hadith from the Ahlul Bayt, where Imam Hussein, that one beautiful hadith, because the height of it is in Karbala. Remember those companions in Karbala, Imam Ali says that no one will ever be like them. There was never anyone like them before. There will never be anyone like them. We have shuhada now. We might even compare them to the shuhada of Badr and Uhud. But were they like the companions of Imam Hussein? No. How much belief was there in the akhirah? I'll mention the words of Imam Hussein. But comparing our... So I'll give you the case study. The case study was this. It happened in the Islamic Republic. There was a woman who she and her husband were about to get divorced. So they've now separated from one another. Unfortunately, they were now separated. That's a bad idea, but they had separated. They're living a month apart. And now they hear such and such sheikh is coming to their area. The friends are worried, concerned. Why don't you sit down and talk with the sheikh? They agree. The husband and wife agree. So now both of them are sitting, which is the right way to do it. You have both people sitting there. The girl explained, she said that actually, me and my husband, we don't have a serious problem with one another. We're fine. It's our in-laws, his relatives. They're the ones who are. And it wasn't just the mother and father, it was also the brother, his brother. So they're zalimin, they're oppressive, they're interfering, they're doing these things, and now I'm reached the breaking point. Now I'm done. And the sheikh says her husband was also there, and he agreed. So he's listening, and he says, it's true. He said, but they're all, I've tried, I've spoken to them, I've done my responsibility. They're being zalimin. My father, he's too old, he's not going to change my mother. So sheikh now turns back to the young lady. He said, so I've understood what happened. Right? He said, he didn't have the opportunity to go and talk to her father and her mother and her brother. No. In-laws, I can't talk to them. He said, but I can't talk to her. He said, so your husband's here, and what you just said was correct. Your situation is unbearable. It's very difficult. They're zalimin. Your husband's confirmed that this is actually correct. So, yeah. He said, I want to ask you a couple of questions. He said, if you knew that you would only live until tomorrow, so you had one day to live, and then after that you're going to go to the akhirah. One day. How would you feel about the problems you're currently in? So you're going to die. Tomorrow's it. It's all over. You know, you're going. How would you feel about the problems you're currently in? Would that be your greatest concern? If I'm going to go meet Allah, akhirah, and I know? So another question for you. So if you knew that you were going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wouldn't be your greatest concern. Wouldn't be my greatest concern. He said, what about if someone came to you? Because, you know, like, when we're encouraging one another to be patient, one part of it, we empathize with the person who's going through the difficulties. That's true. He says, so let's say there was someone who came over to you. It's like, I agree with you. Your father-in-law is so wrong. Your mother-in-law is like this. Your brother, right? He said that at this stage, they're agreeing with you. Would you appreciate their concern? Knowing that you're going to go to meet Allah tomorrow. She's like, that was not the time. Lord, telling me how terrible it is. I've got other bigger things. Akhirah. Another question for you. He said, so not only if you, he said that, do you know that you're alive tomorrow? If you had yaqeen that you were only going to live until tomorrow, you wouldn't. He said, do you have yaqeen that you're alive tomorrow? Who knows how? But see what happened? The akhirah, belief in the akhirah, being present in the mind. I'm going to meet God. My biggest concerns. If it can be brought into our lives, then it changes how we think. The verses of Quran now, and the hadith, first of all, with Imam Hussein, what he says is that the letter he wrote on the 6th of Muharram. He said this, فَكَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ. The akhirah is so real, it's as if the dunya never existed. وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةِ. It's as if the akhirah لَمْ تَزَلْ. As if it was always present. It was always the akhirah. If that's the case, if I'm only going to be here for a little while, no matter what my difficulty is, and there's those rewards and me meeting my maker, what should I do in my current situation? This is a hadith from our prophet. It says, "Ad-dunya sah." This dunya, as long as we're here, is a moment. Faj'alha tah. Make it obedience. Use the opportunity. These are now ayat of the Quran. We don't have time. I'm going to end now. We can look in the ayat of the Quran about this. No matter what we've been given of the dunya, whether it is a difficult and intolerable situation or blessings that are beyond belief, the way that Islam wants us to feel is not that I've been honored by God if things are going my way, or to feel disrespected by God if I'm in a challenging situation, but rather to use either that blessing or that difficulty to get closer to God, to gain the akhirah. Whether it's good or bad, ad-dunya sa'a, it's only a moment. Faj'alha, use that situation, faj'alha ta'a.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi. عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
In the limelight.
The United States policies have hurt itself and other Western economies. According to reports, the U.S. GDP contracted by 0.6% in the second quarter, raising concerns that the country may be heading into a recession and compounding the Biden administration's political challenges as it grapples with decades-high inflation. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media websites for further details. Stay tuned, please. Good Global Times wrote, repercussions of the U.S. Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hike cycle have emerged across the global economy and in the U.S. as the U.S. economy falls into technical recession after two straight months of negative growth. Final GDP data showed recently. The U.S. GDP contracted by 0.6% in the second quarter, according to updated data. This followed a 1.6% contraction in the first quarter, indicating that the U.S. economy had fallen into technical recession, often measured by two straight quarters of declining economic output. The U.S. economic contraction comes at a time when the U.S. Federal Reserve is in the middle of its most aggressive cycle of tightening since 1980s. The U.S. Fed just raised rates by 0.75 percentage point on September 21st, the fifth interest rate hike this year and the third hike of that level. It is also expected to hike interest rates in the coming months to tamp down inflation. As the Fed goes all out to rein in surging prices, with no noticeable effects to date, the preliminary shock brought created by these policies on the U.S. and global economies have become increasingly pronounced, with many currencies depreciating sharply against the U.S. dollar and U.S. stocks hitting a new market low. Wang Dongyi, chairman of the Zhongtai Capital Investment Management Corporation, told the Global Times, frankly speaking, each round of U.S. interest rate hikes is a kind of financial harvest from around the world. But this round is much more severe because the U.S. is not only hiking rates to solely combat inflation, but to crack down upon China, saying that this would exert immeasurable damage on the global economy should it spiral out of control. The offshore yuan and onshore yuan had breached the psychological barrier of 7.2 against the U.S. dollar. So far this year, the offshore yuan has depreciated by about 13% against the greenback. In comparison, the euro weakened by about 19%. The Japanese yen slipped by 25%. The U.S. Dow Jones Industrial Average recently fell into a bear market for the first time in more than 2 years, while the S&P 500 also sank to a new low this year. Experts stressed that the U.S. interest rate hikes would lead to negative repercussions for the world as well as for its own economy. According to a report on CNBC, billionaire investor Stanley Druckenmiller said that the U.S. Fed policies will not end well for the U.S. economy, saying that he will be stunned if there is not a recession in 2023. Liu Pan, a veteran financial observer, also told the Global Times that the Fed's interest rate hikes would increase capital costs for U.S. companies, thus drag down U.S. economic development. On the other hand, the aggressive rate hikes are also prompting the world to seek a new system of governance and increase non-dollar settlement and trade, which is overall negative for the U.S. As for the impact on the world, experts said that emerging markets will take a severe hit from the U.S. irresponsible monetary policies. Leong Heming, dean of the Belt and Road Institute at Hainan University, said that the Fed's interest rate hikes and other matters like inflation have disrupted the growth pace of emerging market economies, which might face the biggest hit to the growth in about 40 years. In particular, a number of debt-heavy economies like Pakistan and Ghana are facing risks of not being able to pay off their debts under the Fed's interest rate hike cycles because of surging borrowing costs, he said. Although the aggressive rate hikes are not beneficial to the U.S. or the global economy, the Biden administration would cling to this policy to cater to voters ahead of the U.S. midterm elections, showing that the government is doing all it can to combat inflation. However, the policies will not be as effective in combating inflation, analysts note. Wang Yingbo, an associate research fellow at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences, also told the Global Times that the core reason behind this wave of inflation is supply chain disruption caused by anti-globalization. And although interest rate hikes can suppress demand, it will not help improve the supply side. He said, hiking rates is not the best option to fight inflation. Also, Forbes reported the U.S. economy shrank for a second quarter in a row this year. A third and final estimate from the Bureau of Economic Analysis confirmed recently, once again signaling the start of a technical recession, even as economists predict signs of a slowdown will only grow in the coming quarters, likely prompting the official scorekeeper to declare the economy has entered a recession. Forbes added the Fed's withdrawal of pandemic stimulus measures and interest rate hikes this year have fueled concerns of impending recession. This summer, Bank of America economists warned clients that prolonged inflation and the resulting interest rate hikes have unleashed a worrying deterioration in the economy, and particularly in the once booming housing market. The Fed has become more committed to using its tools to help restore price stability with a willingness to accept at least some pain in the process, they said, predicting the economy will fall into recession over the next year.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the negative traits of human beings in the Quran, just so we can understand ourselves a little bit more. One of the negative traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran when it comes to the human beings is that we argue a lot. We are a very arguable lot. Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. The most argumentative creature on this earth as human beings. We argue at everything. Even when we know we're wrong, we still argue. So Allah says, a human being, he creates this kind of argument. And arguments usually lead to fights and sometimes leads to wars and disputes. So not necessarily arguing is a healthy and good thing. So we need to be sure that when it comes to talking and discussing with people, it has to be done within reason. If we see that the other person is not trying to listen or reason, then obviously we should not push our luck. You know, there's a story of the lion and the tiger and the mule. The mule and the tiger, they got an argument. The mule said the grass is green. The mule said the grass is blue, The tiger said the grass is green. They got into argument. They wanted the lion to judge between them. And the mule said to the king, to the lion, he said, isn't the grass blue? And he said, it is what you think it is. He said, yeah, I think it's blue. He's like, yeah, okay, then it's blue. Then the mule got really happy and started jumping around and says, yeah, see, I told you. And then the king, the lion, said to the tiger, I punish you for 3 days of silence. And he said to the lion, but you know that grass is green, right? He said, yeah, I know the grass is green. And you know that grass is green too. But you having to argue with a mule, with a donkey about it, is not the right thing. Why would you argue about something that you are certain of? Therefore, you have to be punished. The idea is that sometimes we argue with anyone about anything, and this is not very healthy. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are two types of people that you have to argue with, smart ones and arrogant and ignorant ones. And the ignorant, Allah says, إِذَا خَطَبَ مُجَّهَلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant talk to them, they say peace. Meaning, I'm not going to waste my time arguing with you because there's nothing that will come out of it. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, even he himself said, he said, every time I get into an argument with a fool, he wins. Because there's no reasoning with the fool. So Imam Ali gives up and just doesn't argue, just walks away. When he says, when I argue with a smart person, however, I win. So there's two type of people there we can be. We can either be the argumentative type of people that we argue about everything and we argue a lot, or sometimes it can be the wise ones. If you see that the argument is not going anywhere, that the other person is not listening, nothing is happening, then just leave it. Don't argue about it. Don't be among those whom Allah calls أَكْثَرُ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا, the most of argumentative people. Because sometimes you see people arguing for hours and hours. Sometimes they argue the whole night until dawn, until morning, until sunrise. They're arguing about things that don't even make a difference to mankind or doesn't even make a difference to them. But yet, they still argue so much. So Allah says one of the bad traits and characteristics of a human being is that he argues a lot, which is a negative aspect, and it could be changed with a positive one, which is silence. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. We are looking at traits or negative traits in a human being just so we can understand ourselves a little bit more better. One of the negative traits of a human being is jealousy. We are jealous kind of creatures. Obviously, it's a choice, not forcefully. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And from the jealousy of people when they become jealous. Now, jealousy in definition is wanting something that you don't have, and at the same time wishing that something that someone else have go away. To put this in example, you see one of your friends or one a human being has a nice car. He's driving a Ferrari and you're driving, I don't know, a Kia or something small, and you say, well, I wish I had a Ferrari, and I wish this guy crashes his and loses his. This is jealousy. Now, wanting to have something that someone else has is, you know, we call it ghabta in Arabic. There's nothing wrong with it. I wish I could be rich just like anyone else. But at the same time, I don't wish harm to come to these people who are already rich. I just want to be rich like them. I want to have a Ferrari like this guy having a Ferrari, and I wish, and I hope he enjoys his, and I get one to enjoy myself. This is the right method. Jealousy, however, is a disease, is a negative trait in a human being. And sometimes also crimes happens out of jealousy, where you see people killing people over jealousy because they have something they don't have, so they end up killing them. Sometimes thieves and stealing is also a result of jealousy. You see something nice at someone else's house and you don't have it, so what you do is you become envious of them, you become jealous of them, and you steal what they had. So jealousy could lead into a number of sins that me and you, we have to be aware of. So it is a negative trait in this regard. So Allah says, don't argue and don't be stingy. And sometimes we become jealous of things that even beyond our comprehension. And Allah says in the Quran, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, that you want to become jealous and wish that people lose what they have over the things that Allah has given them? Because this is what jealousy is basically, is that I become jealous of things that Allah has bestowed upon my brothers and sisters. And I say, you know what? Nah, I want them to lose everything. And I'm not happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did He give it to them and not me? So I want it gone. Now, I mean, it has been narrated in our narration that hasad itself is a state of kufr, a person committing disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of that. So it's a negative trait that as human beings, we need to monitor and make sure that we don't have. Because if we do, then we are definitely infringing and taking the rights of other human beings. So we need to stay on the safe side. Instead of jealousy, we can have envy. And envy is just basically, I wish that everyone remains having whatever they have, and I just want to have the same, as we call it in Arabic, ghibta. We leave it here, and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآله.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5.